Joe Knows Sports.
It's Joe Smith Reports
on WGCL.
Another track sectional championship came down to a battle between the two city schools that have won all the titles dating back to 2007. And for the first time since 2013, the Bloomington North Cougars were team champions as they defeated city rival Bloomington South by just 7 points. Bloomington North's track was the host last night, and the three county schools will send on multiple performers to the regionals. The team champion Cougars, they will send 9 individuals and 3 relays. South will have 12 individuals and 2 relays, and Edgewood, their 1,600-meter relay, and 4 individuals will be moving on. North was led by Kobe Sterner. He won the 200 meters. His teammate Antonio Dahlman was right behind him in second place. The 400, Dahlman came back and ran 49.03, one of the fastest times in school history. Logan Calvin swept a shot put and discus to round out the Cougars' winners, but the strength of the team game, plenty of second-place efforts, is what helped North to the team title. Runner-up performances from Isaiah Knight in the 100, Drew Warren in the 800, Garrett Ramsey in the pole vault, plus third-place finishes in the 1600 from Isaiah Hollers, and Teddy Waxler in the long jump. Larry Williams' South Panthers were led in the hurdles double by Caleb Budd as he set the school record, breaking his own record, in the 300 hurdles, running in 39 flat. Sam Monson won the high jump and the long jump. That's the 4th championship for the Monson family this week. If you remember, his sister Jordan won the 100 and 300 hurdles and the girls track sectional. Jack Gillard won the 1600 meters and his teammate Jake Wisniewski was right behind him in second. In the 3200 meters, it was Ian Shaw winning over Edgewood's Austin Haskell. And South took home the victory in the pole vault as Jacob Correa won that event easily. I'm Mike Glasgow, pinch hitting for Joe Smith.
Let's go!
Joe Knows Sports.
It's Joe Smith Reports
on WGCL.
The Indiana Pacers found out yesterday that all-star forward Paul George was not selected to one of the NBA's premier teams. He did not make the first, second, or third team, and that means bad news, perhaps, for Pacer fans. Why? Well, if Paul George was selected, the Pacers could have used the designated player extension, which is part of the new collective bargaining agreement that starts July 1st, and given George an extension on his current contract, the richest it would have been in NBA history, 5 years, $210 million. That's about $70 million more than he could have gotten anywhere else. Why would he leave the Pacers and leave $70 million on the table? With 1 year left on his contract, it gives the Pacers some interesting options they have to plan for, plan around, and look at. Do they trade George now? Do they trade George midseason? Do they hope next year Paul George lands on one of those top three NBA teams and they can use this designated player provision next year? At 27 years of age, George is entering his prime. Whatever the Pacers are getting in return for Paul George, if they choose to move on from him, isn't going to be in the conversation for the third team All-NBA or second team All-NBA, as there is no guarantee rookies, young players, or draft picks will turn out to be what George has been and what George is. Paul George is guaranteed. He's a guaranteed big-time player. If I'm the Pacers, I open up the checkbook, I pay the luxury tax, and surround him with players who can compete in the East. But remember, if George doesn't want to be there, he's not going to stay. The Pacers have to make him stay by surrounding him with big talent that can compete. I'm Mike Glasgow, pinch hitting for Joe Smith.